This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I believe that it is Islamically obligatory to support the AK party and Erdogan.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What?
We in the West have been given a very particular narrative and view of Turkey and its president Erdogan. Strongman, dictator, backwards, religious zealot, sellout, whatever. That's why many of us might be shocked to hear something like this. You know, there's one thing that's always stuck in my head. One of the perks of working for Islam Trinity is I often get put in situations where I'm totally not qualified to be, eavesdropping on conversations that scholars are having with each other. And one thing that shocked me a few years ago was when I overheard a few of the most senior scholars in the UK talking to each other. One Palestinian said to the other, a Bengali, that the upcoming elections in Turkey in a few years' time will be difficult and Erdogan might not win. And he was like, oh my God, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, ya salam, Allah make it easy for the Ummah. And I was like, huh? Why does a Palestinian and a Bengali in London care so much about the outcome of election in Turkey 2,000 miles away? In recent days, browsing on Twitter, I actually found fatwas and public statements from loads of Islamic scholars from different countries saying the same thing, that Muslims need to support the AK party in the Turkish elections this weekend. In fact, there was a statement by 50 plus leading scholars from across the world representing massive numbers of scholars from unions to Islamic councils, to universities and more, throwing their support behind this man and this party. But seriously? I can get it if it's a few scholars within a particular country here and there, but what is going on here? Why do Islamic scholars from all over the place care so much about who wins an election in Turkey? Have the major scholars of the Ummah today just got too much time on their hands, or is there something that we're not being told here in the West? I tried to find out the answer. And I learned a lot. I spoke to a few activists on the ground in Turkey to learn more about the domestic situation and the mood on the ground, as well as Sheikh Haytham al-Haddad to learn more about what the international scholarly scene was saying about this election and why. If you stick around until the end, you'll see a cheeky little bonus where I put some very blunt questions to the Sheikh that are on everyone's minds. Don't worry, we'll put timestamps in the description below, inshallah. So my first issue automatically was, is it really that black and white? All these scholarly statements are painting this out to be some kind of clear-cut Islamic people versus secularist people. Is that really the case? Who are the main parties running for election? The brothers we spoke to gave a good summary of the two major alliances vying for power in this presidential election, and they're reportedly neck and neck. Every vote counts.
There is two main groups in Turkey right now. The first one is AK party, is well known. And the second group is a coalition of six parties, Table of Six, they call.
The second one is the CHP party coalition. And this is also called Kemalist coalition.
So one alliance is made up of Erdogan's AK party, along with a few others. And the main opposition is the Kemalist secularist party called CHP, which is pronounced CHP or something. Go figure. Their presidential candidate is their own leader, Kemal.
Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu.
Yeah, that one. Let's just call him Kemal for now, shall we? So who else is in their coalition? They have some other parties, namely the Ertuğrul Symbol Party, DP, Deval, Saadet, and Future Party, led by Ahmet Davutoğlu. Wait a minute. He was a former prime minister and leader of Erdogan's AK party. What's going on here? And Saadet is also an Islamic party. Aha, that's a gotcha moment. It's not a black and white thing. There are Islamic-minded people in the alliance against Erdogan too. So there, mystery solved. All the scholars around the world just made a mistake. Thanks for watching. See you next time. Just kidding. This is what I wanted to get to the bottom of. So we put it to the Turkish brothers.
So they say there are good people like Ahmet Davutoğlu, Ali Babacan, Saadet Party. So don't view it in a very simplistic way that Erdogan is the Islamic one and the other people are the secular anti-Islam one. Do you agree on this comment or not?
I think that comment is misguiding. I mean, with all my respect, but Saadet Party and Ali Babacan and Ahmet Davutoğlu is a very minor group. 95% of the votes comes from the Kemalists.
They don't have weight.
Yeah.
Okay, so that tallies up. According to English Wikipedia, who look like raving fans of the opposition to Erdogan, who, by the way, they tried to portray as some kind of evil vampire, they said that they have a grand total of like one or two MPs. So their voice is reportedly negligible in policy. But because the race is so close, every percentage counts. But wait a minute, Sheikh Haytham made an interesting point to the brothers.
This can be read that Erdogan has not been faithful to his Islamic principles. And maybe Ahmet Davutoğlu doesn't see any major difference between Erdogan and the CHP party, okay?
Yeah.
Or Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu. So what is your comment about that?
I am not maybe a big fan of the Erdogan, but if we compare the these groups or the these parties and the Erdogan, Erdogan is exactly so close to Islamic side and the Muslim side than the CHP coalition. You say the one opinion, Sheikh, yani they think that the CHP and Erdogan is the same, yani no difference between the CHP and the Erdogan. Yes, unfortunately, many Muslim people or the many Islamic side, many Islamic people think like that. They say that the Erdogan has a lot of corruption, Erdogan has a lot of the big problem. Yani, yes, we know that the CHP tried to change themselves. Their opinion is like that. But according to me, it's not 100% true, because we know the CHP's history or the CHP coalition history. CHP needs someone from inside the Muslim groups, from inside the Muslim side. And CHP found these guys, and CHP played these guys like that. Yeah. It's my opinion, exactly.
So I ask them straight. Do you really think that there's a credible risk that the clock could turn back and the landscape could change for Muslims in Turkey if Erdogan's party loses? And Islam and Islamic symbols could be on the decline in Turkey? Or are these scare tactics used by Erdogan and his party to cling on to power?
Many of our fathers or our grandfathers mentions about the past in Turkey. There were really hard times for the Muslims. About even if you want to recite Quran, it was really hard for the Muslims in the past. And I think by the change of the current situation, I mean, I think the Muslim people will have hard times in the future.
Have they made that intention clear? Or is that kind of something that's credibly could happen, or is it something maybe that some AK Party people are saying to scare people or vote for them?
They made the intention in the last years. I heard many times that someone in the parliament said, "I don't trust a police who wear a headscarf, hijab, or I don't trust someone who wears a scarf as a lawyer or as a judge." Those people were in CHP most of the time, but for the last 1 or 2 years, they cut these anti-Islamic, Islamophobic speeches, because it's obvious they will not get any vote if they continue like that. But we don't know if they are doing takiyya or they are really changed.
So you personally do feel that if the coalition against Erdogan, they win, do you feel that some of the progress that Erdogan and AK Party have made in terms of freedom for Muslims in public to practice Islam, the symbols of Islam in public, do you think that could be under threat personally?
I personally believe it will not probably go 100 years back like in the first times of Turkey. I don't think there will not be that much of zulm, but it's obvious like these people are not Islamists, like they don't have any Islamic agenda, so they don't work to make Islam better, and this is by itself will make Islamic in Turkey, Islamic activities in Turkey harder. But I don't believe that it will not end it.
So we've had a lot of "I'm not a big fan of Erdogan, but" over the years, since he's not everyone's cup of tea. But the point is usually the comparison to the alternatives, who have a long history of vicious secularism and Islamophobia. But the plot thickens. There is one demographic that secularism is reportedly spreading amongst, which is the young people, which could be partly why there's a palpable sense of urgency in so many of those statements from many scholars.
I think that the Turkey day by day get the secular. And if you compare the Turkey the 10 years ago and the now, the Turkey day by day they get the secular, especially the young generation. They accept themselves as the secular and the westernized. Before that, the many young Muslim, many Turkish youth, the support the Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, and the one point I emphasize this point, especially young generation doesn't like the Erdogan. It's the reality.
That actually makes a lot of sense. I mean, Western media outlets are plastering their articles with trendy young rainbow face painted students that could be the future of Turkey. We discussed this for quite some time with the brothers, and predictable patterns emerged. Not only are young people bombarded by Western soft power and narratives on a daily basis, but they said meme culture on social media is dominated by short, simplistic slogans that naturally favor secularism and Western pop culture. So there's a big Gen Z generational gap. There's also the fact that this entire generation of children grew up not knowing what it was like before the country's development under the AK party. But that's a significant number of people. Reportedly, 5 million kids are now old enough to vote for the first time in this election. Of course, there's also the natural problem of the incumbent. People in power normally get blamed for anything negative that people don't like. So the longer a party is in power, naturally the less popular you'd expect them to get. Add to this the Muslim youngster dimension, who maybe naturally sometimes want to rebel a bit from their families and their elders. And anyone new represents change. So if they're discontent about anything, they don't like the economy, foreign policy, housing, whatever it may be, instead of asking which party is good for the wider Muslim or Islamic scene, naturally many people just wanting to have a better standard of life. This also made me think about Muslims over here in the West too. See, it's very easy for us young people, I'm so young too, to have that "what have the Romans done for us anyway" kind of attitude about our elders. Many obnoxiously might say, "Oh, all they did was build mosques and madrasas. Why do they vote for Labour all the time? Or, that's so silly. Or, why are they so obsessed with halal meat certification? There's chicken shops everywhere." These are easy memes and slogans to blurt out, but to realise why they're actually really dumb things to say requires reflecting on our context back in the day, which many of us simply aren't privy to. So it's easy for us to poo-poo what the elder generations did, and without respect for the sacrifices and wisdom of our elders, any generation is doomed. Anyway, a bit of a tangent. So that was the situation in the country of Turkey. But that doesn't necessarily explain why so many scholars all over the world are so stressed out about this. So I asked Sheikh Haytham, what is the impact of this election on the geopolitical and ummatic scene? Explain the mood of the international scholars.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. Apart from the mood of the international scholars, let us first of all understand a little bit about the geopolitics of Turkey and the AK party and Erdogan. I mentioned a number of times that we have four important Muslim countries, two Arabs and two non-Arabs. The Arabs are Saudi Arabia, of course, the Haramain, etc. And the second one is Egypt. And then the non-Arabs are Turkey and Pakistan. Yeah. Alhamdulillah, today Pakistan, the High Court gave the decision that the arrest of Imran Khan was illegal. Okay, and we ask Allah Jalla wa Ala to protect the people of Pakistan, and let me use this platform to send a message to Pakistan and the Pakistanis to protect their country, and whatever division they have, that should not lead to the destruction of their country, let alone shedding the blood of people there, killing each other or destroying their country. And maybe, inshallah, maybe one time we can talk about this in more details. But back to the four countries. We said two Arab countries and two non-Arab countries. Pakistan is one of them. The second one is Turkey. Turkey is a central country. It is the main inheritors of the Ottoman Khilafah. We have to remember that. Or the Ottoman Empire, call it whatever you want to call it. And it is, as we said, it is a central country. It has influence over so many countries that maybe share the same ethnicity or the same background. The Kyrgyzia, the ex-Russian countries, all the way to Russia. That, as we know, that the Uyghurs are talking, they talk Turkish, and they have a Turkish background. And now, with the leadership of AK Party, Turkey became a very central, if not the main country in the Middle East. Okay. Now, because it joined the club of the G20, as you know, and it started to, it is the only advanced country beside Iran, okay, in the Middle East that manufacture airplanes, drones, and even other types of weapons, let alone other industries. Turkey, for example, we see, okay, just because of time, that, you know, in the recent Sudanese crisis, we have heard from many sources, and it has been confirmed, that Himeti, yeah, who revolted against the army, he went to, he or maybe some other Arab countries, they asked Haftar in Libya to use aircrafts to destroy the Sudani army, or to attack the, let us say, to attack the Sudani army. And it is only when Turkey intervened and they stopped Haftar, and they said, if you do anything, we will immediately interfere and we will, okay, destroy you. Look at the role of Turkey in Sudan. Yeah. Although in the beginning, Sudan, many Sudanese were against Turkey, but now so many Sudanese are supportive of Turkey and AK Party and Erdogan. Look at what they done in Somalia. I remember a person in Somalia who is high and who is involved in the politics of Somalia. He told me, Sheikh, if Erdogan were to visit Somalia, the Somalis will go to greet him more than they will go to greet their own president in Somalia. Okay, look at their role even in Qatar. Okay, supporting Qatar when it was okay during the its crisis. Look at so many in Libya, yeah, and so many other places. So Turkey now is not just Turkey for itself. Turkey is a country for the Muslim Ummah now. That's why the Muslim scholars are making dua for Erdogan, making dua for AK Party, making dua for Turkey. Okay, so, and look, just again, because of time, I don't want to mention what they are doing. Look now, who is the main enemy of the West? Yeah, is it Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu and the CHP party, or it is the AK party and Erdogan? Yeah, I try to go through some of the news, the BBC, Germany news, etc., the English speaking news. You can see CNN, whatever, quickly, you can see that their agenda anti-Erdogan. That's why some of the Islamic brothers who are saying that, oh, no, don't take it. It is not a very simple equation, Erdogan Islamic versus Kılıçdaroğlu anti-Islamic. It's not like this. No, there are some Islamic people on the other side. We are saying, look, where is the devil? Where is the devil? On which side? Yeah? No, seriously. Okay. Because some brothers, they are trying to come across as if they are sophisticated. And this reminds me of the time of Mursi, rahimahullah, and Assisi. And some people try to be more sophisticated and say, no, 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 it is not as simple as this. Mursi did this and that and this and that and this and that. Okay? So
look at the wider ramifications.
Exactly. Basically. Look at the macro picture. Don't look at the micro picture. And don't try to come as if you are a very sophisticated person and try to support the other side because you just want to come across as an intellectual person. Yeah. Look at the macro picture. Where is the devil? Yeah. All Western anti-Islamic countries, yeah, they are all against Erdogan. They wish to see him collapsing and losing the elections because they know that Turkey now wouldn't reach to this level. Yeah, that is speaking to all Western countries. Turkey is speaking to America head to head now. And America, although they hate Erdogan, they hate Turkey, but they cannot get rid of them because they became geopolitically a very major player in the area. Yeah, they want them. They hate them. They want them. Now, this position, who made Turkey in this position? It is the AK party and Erdogan. The West doesn't want that. Why? They don't want to see, yeah, let us be more specific, the anti-Islamic West, yeah? Because someone might say, well, there are some good Western countries. Okay, let us say that, okay? The anti-Islamic West, they hate Erdogan because he built a Muslim country, or let us say a Muslim majority country, to be a strong country, yeah? That is speaking to them head to head. We have seen recently when Finland and Austria, they want to join the NATO, yeah? And Erdogan has put his conditions, okay? Laid down his conditions for them to join. So he is playing from a very powerful position. The anti-Islamic West, they don't want a Muslim person who is heading a Muslim majority country to do this. Okay, so this is from one perspective. Of course, the Islamic activities that are taking place in Turkey, he provided asylum for many Islamic scholars who were, you know, kicked out of their own countries, etc. This is something, of course, it is a huge advantage. Yeah, but I'm looking at the global issue and the macro picture. Now, some people say, well, the other party, the CHP party, the coalition led by Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, they are not anti-Islam. Yeah. How did you come up with that conclusion? Is it because Ahmed Davutoğlu and Saadet Party and Ali Babacan joined? Yeah. No, not necessarily, because as the brother said, this is just a very small, tiny. They don't have that impact. But the CHP party is in need of them to polish his image and to attract more voters and to confuse Muslims. Okay, but we know the history of the CHP party and how they how they run Turkey, even from economy perspective. When you say that Erdogan and the AK party is the reason of all these problems, okay, look at it in a macro way. 20 years ago, how much the dollar was versus the lira, okay? Istanbul used to be considered one of the most dirty places in the world, yeah? Capitals in the world. Okay, 20 or 25 years ago. Okay, now Turkey is one of the G20. Go to Turkey, the roads, most of the roads, they were reconstructed by Erdogan, the bridges by Erdogan, the social system has improved after AK party and Erdogan, the healthcare system improved after Erdogan, and as the brother said, because the young people, many of them, they were born during the time of Erdogan, so they don't know what was the situation socially, politically before the time of Erdogan. So they are also, they are not deep enough to look at the situation and to analyze it. Yeah. Who is the alternative of Erdogan? What is their history? What they have done? And that coalition, what is the main agenda for them? Okay. And once they understand this, then they can have a better picture or a better decision. But just because they hate Erdogan, they want to vote for the opposition. Yeah. This is the situation. I strongly believe that it is an Islamic obligation now to support the AK party and Erdogan. I believe that it is Islamically obligatory to vote for Erdogan in this election 2023 and to vote for the AK party. Why? Because the loss of Erdogan, the loss of the AK party is a loss for the entire Muslim Ummah, not only Turkey. And it is a victory, yeah? For, as I said, where is the devil? It is a victory for the devil. It is a victory for those who oppose the Islamic project, for those who oppose Islam, for those who oppose seeing a Muslim country or a Muslim majority country as an independent, strong country, yeah, it is a victory for them. And that's why, as the scholar said, ما لا يتم الواجب إلا به فهو واجب. What leads to obligation is also obligatory. So we cannot achieve that obligation, which is the victory of Islam and the continuation of building Turkey and other Muslim countries as strong, independent Muslim countries, except with this. Therefore, and also protecting the achievements, the Islamic achievements, the AK party and Erdogan has achieved, okay, on a micro level, like the issue of hijab, like the issue of freedom of religion through freedom of Islam, yeah, and the major things like stopping certain non-Islamic Western agendas, okay, regarding the family and regarding, yeah, the social fabric of the society, also on a macro level regarding political issues and political support that Turkey, political military support that Turkey is giving to legitimate Muslim countries. So because of this, yeah, we must support AK party, we must support Erdogan. Muslims in Turkey must vote for Erdogan. They must vote for the AK party. And I'm afraid that if they vote for the other party, they might be sinful. If they keep quiet as well, if they abstain from voting in this particular election, it is very likely that they are very sinful. And they should remember that Allah Jalla Ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كونوا قوامين بالقسط شهداء لله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين لله شهداء بالقسط. Oh, you who believe, stand for justice. So where is justice in this election? Stand with justice, for justice. Otherwise, you will be sinful. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من رأى منكم منكرا فليغيره بيده فإن لم يستطع فبلسانه فمن لم يستطع فبقلبه. Whoever sees a munkar, he should change it by his hand. If he cannot, then by his tongue. If he cannot, by his heart. And voting and election is the effective way now to change any munkar and to stand against any munkar and to stand for any haq. We should look at it from this perspective. And there are so many incidents in Sira where it was not true, it was not clear, yeah, where is the haq 100% lies for the companions, yeah, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified for them, like the incident of al-Hudaybiyah. Yeah, many of the sahaba, they could not see, including Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, could not see where is the best choice. Yeah, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, and that's why the scholar said that the aqil and the faqih, the wise person, is the one who can easily see the best of the worst, okay, and the worst of the best. And they said that the sharia is based on jalb أكثر الخير ودفع أكثر الشر. So definitely we are not saying that Erdogan or the AK party are the Khalifa of the Muslims. He's acting Islamically, okay, from all angles. Allahu Alam, this is, يعني, I'm not saying that he is not or he is, okay. But at least, okay, let me put it like this. He is the most Islamic among all. Yeah, no one can argue about that. Yeah, he's the most Islamic. This is from an Islamic perspective. And the second thing, even from benefits, he is the most benefiting from all the other parties for Turkey and for the Muslim Ummah all over the world. And if someone were to argue about that, look at the history of Erdogan and look at the history of the opposition.
I remember, you know, you said we were discussing this a few years ago about Erdogan, and you were saying that he's introduced, he's trailblazed like a new a method in politics in Muslim majority countries, where for the first time in many decades, produce a viable, you know, Islamic kind of alternative to what the status quo was. And you said that he's doing a type of tajdid, and it may be a type of mujaddid in that very specific sense.
Definitely. And it's still I stand, because some people did ask me, have you changed your views? And I said, no. No, I haven't changed my view, because before the time of Erdogan, we were thinking, the activists and the people who are involved in, political Islam, as they say, they were thinking, if a good Muslim were to rule a country, not even like Turkey, like Egypt, like whatever, how is he going to run it?
Yeah.
We did not have a clue. They did not have a clue. Let them be honest. Let all Islamic du'at, etc., involved in Islamic da'wah be honest. No one had a clue. So Erdogan came and he gave us a model. So from that perspective, he is a mujaddid. And why we said that he is a mujaddid from that perspective? Because tajdid at each time differs, because of the needs. So for example, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, his tajdid, he is the first agreed upon mujaddid. Yeah. His tajdid was what? His tajdid was not in fiqh, not in hadith, but his tajdid was in politics and justice, So al-Shafi'i came, he died 204. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz died 101 Hijrah, of course. Al-Shafi'i died 204 Hijrah, So in the beginning of the Abbasid period, at that time, justice was to a very good level was established. And the Abbasid density was so huge. But at that time, so many people entered Islam, and there was no clarity regarding the hadith, how to understand the hadith. It was not crystallized in a form of discipline. So Imam al-Shafi'i came with Ilm Usul al-Fiqh, and that was a novel at that time. It was something new, novel. So that's why he is the second agreed upon mujaddid. So the tajdid differs from one situation to another situation. I am not saying that Erdogan is the mujaddid of the ummah from all perspectives, but from the political perspective, he introduced something that no one had a clue before about.
A viable model. I mean, some people, they feel that if you say mujaddid, it means like he's some kind of Mahdi or some kind of prophet. Or must be perfect. You say, well, look at him. He's doing this. He's shaking so-and-so's hand. He's doing those things that, you know, politicians, unfortunately, or fortunately, whatever, depends on your opinion, have to do. You know, they have to rub shoulders with evil people and have certain relationships with certain types of people and so forth on a kind of diplomatic level and stuff. But my question is, though, Sheikh, we're having this conversation again 4 years later, 5 years later, 7 years later, and it's about Erdogan and AK Party again. Is this not a kind of single point failure then? So like, if we're relying on
this is a very good question. A very good question. And you know, I was looking for an answer for this question. I had a kind of an idea. And one of the academics, Dr. Atiyya Abdlan, he lives in Turkey now, he's originally Egyptian. And he wrote about Islamic politics a lot. And he said something really very interesting. He said, we wish, and I also wish, to see a real opposition that has no foreign agenda, working for the benefit of Turkey, in order for that opposition to enrich the political process in Turkey in a very just way. So people will see really two Islamic options or two options that they are working for the benefits of Turkey. And when we have more than one option, okay, in the as a ruling party, then those parties, they will compete for the betterment of the country. Yeah. And this is really something we wish to see. But to see a party that is for Islam and a party that is anti-Islam, and as I have said, explained before, look at it from a macro perspective, you will see what we have seen. And look where the devil is. Look where the anti-Islamic Western people, where are they? What do they want? And then you can easily identify who is for Islam and who is anti-Islam.
Wow, there you have it, brothers and sisters. I have to be honest, when you hear the soundbite, it's obligatory to support X, then the automatic reaction is indeed surprise. But when you see the principles and usul that it's based upon, and particularly the breadth and the width of the scholars behind the AK party in this election, it becomes tough to argue against personally. Unless, of course, one is wedded to a particular theory or school of thought for change, which is fine. Anyway, it's important as ever to realize that these are matters of ijtihad. And if people have different opinions to you, as long as they're based on people of knowledge doing the actual detailed fatwa process in ijtihad, then alhamdulillah, that enriches our discussion as an ummah, and we shouldn't take it as a means for disunity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the Muslims of Turkey, the whole ummah, and even the non-Muslims of the world who are suffering due to a lack of Muslim unity and leadership. Let us know in the comments below what your views are and any interesting points you'd like to share. And give this video a like and a share if you found it beneficial. We probably need it, because the chances are we're going to be drowned out by the meme culture that we mentioned earlier that serves the surveillance capitalism that these platforms are built upon. But anyway, that's another video for another day. Click the subscribe button and hit the bell notification to be at the front of the queue when we drop our next video, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Oh, and by the way, we, or the algorithms, think that you might be interested in this video next. So give it a go before you're lured into some rabbit hole of funny cat videos for the next 2 hours.